Some of you know we are studying in the book of Acts, and we are in chapter 24-25. So Ingemar was here last week, and he kind of covered most of chapter 24, and I was going to kind of do a little bit on the tail end of chapter 24 and maybe read from verse 24 of chapter 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 days, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, or Felix's position, and Felix, willingly to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. We're going to enter chapter 25 in a bit, but I just want to kind of talk a little bit. Ingemar mentioned the word way. In those times, way was what the terminology they used for the believers. Those who followed Christ were called in the way movement. And as Ingemar said, I hope that word had stuck, because that's a beautiful word. The Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." And so the early Christians were called the way. And when I was reading this, here is a kind of chapter 24, 25, and 26 kind of tells us of an acronym, which we could say FFA. So what is FFA? FFA is Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. Three men who Paul confronted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we have to ask ourselves the question, how many opportunities do we get to present the gospel to somebody like Felix, to somebody like Festus, to somebody like Agrippa? And I want to contrast two passages in Scripture which have some similarity. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we see the conversion of Paul. And we notice here in Acts chapter 9, in verse 6, on the road to Damascus, Paul says, or Saul at that time was his name, "Who art thou, Lord?" He was stopped right there. "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted." Look at verse 6. "And he trembled." I just read earlier, chapter 24, that Felix was with Drusilla, and when he heard Paul speak about Christ, he trembled. There's a difference now with the reaction Saul had with that encounter with the Jesus of Nazareth. He too trembled. But then he said, "And trembling and astonished." And that word astonish, if you go into the Greek, kind of means realization. He trembled and realized. And in his realization, he repented, because the word says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There was a turning point in the life of Saul, in that encounter at Damascus, that he was ready to trust in the one whom he disliked or whom he persecuted, because he realized this was the Messiah. If you go down to verse 15, we see Lord speaking to this man Ananias. And what does the Lord say to Ananias? He says, go thy way. Because Ananias was throwing some doubt about this man who was suddenly converted. Ananias couldn't, this man, I mean, this, he was persecuting the Jews all in Jerusalem. How would he suddenly turn? And the Lord tells Ananias, go thy way, for he is a saved vessel, a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Three things. Gentiles, king, and the children of Israel. Gentiles, Felix and Festus. King Agrippa. And the children of Israel, Drusilla. She was a daughter of Herod Agrippa. And the Lord says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then we turn here to chapter 24. He is bound. He is in prison. He is before Felix. And very soon we will see he is on the road to Rome. So you see, in this chapter, we see Felix trembling. In verse 25. And he reasoned of three things. Paul was telling him about three things. And we don't have details about what all he spoke on. But verse 25 says, as he reasoned with this man Felix and his wife Drusilla, he says, think of righteousness, think of temperance, think of judgment. See, Felix didn't want to deal with that. He didn't want to deal with these very probing questions. What is righteousness of the law? Because how can man attain righteousness by following the law? All the law did was reveal and expose the sin. And so Paul was reasoning with Felix and telling him, you know, how good can you be and how can you attain any relationship with God? And then temperance. What is temperance? Temperance means somebody telling you to, hey, cool it. Self-control. And when you live a sinful life, Felix, you know, we see here, he liked to take bribes. He was hoping that he would get something from some of the followers of Paul, that they would give him some money, because in the last sentence he says that he's hoping for some money be given of Paul that he might lose him. He was a covetous man, this man Felix. So when Paul was speaking about sin and about righteousness and about temperance, this man was not ready to turn, like Saul did on the road to Damascus. And judgment. So Paul was speaking to him about judgment. He says, if you do not turn, if you do not walk away from sin and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be judged on the great white throne. And what was Felix's answer? When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What is convenient season? You know, does man set the time to approach God? Or does God set the time and say, my friend, your life is over? You know, Moody once was preaching a crowd of close to 10,000 people in an auditorium, and he kind of took a poll. And he says, stand up of all those who are saved. And about 5,000 people stood up. Then he says, you know, stay standing if you are between over the age of 30. Half of them. And the other half sat down. And as he went down through the age group, and he says, stand up for those who are above 60. There were just a handful. You know, if you keep off the time when you want to face God, it may be too late. Moody saw that there were more people who were saved who were in the younger age and very few in the older age, because they died off. And this man Felix was putting it off at a convenient season. When I don't have any more covetousness, when I'm comfortable, when I'm old, maybe I'll call for you, Paul, and then we'll talk about this Jesus. I don't know whether he lived to do that. And look at Drusilla. You know, Drusilla knew better. She was a Jewish person. The historians tell us that, you know, Felix was a freed slave, and through his cruelty and his deceit, he came up to the top and he became a governor. Drusilla, she was the daughter of Herod the Agrippa, who killed James. Her uncle was the one who killed John the Baptist. Her great-grandfather was the one who met the wise men, and then he came a decree that all the little children would all firstborn would die. Drusilla was part of that family, and she was married to Felix. And Felix made the call and said, I'll put it off for a convenient season, and then I'll come to the Lord Jesus. You know, if there's anyone in here who's putting it off, we have to be careful. Because that convenient season may not come. And you will pass into eternity to face God at the great white throne. There's no such thing as a convenient season. Today is the day of salvation. Act on it. You have these three people, FFA, Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. So let's go to chapter 25 and read about this man who takes the position of Festus. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesar to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and besought him and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart slowly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down into Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, see, he was playing double-sided. He was trying to be fair, at the same time he was trying to please the Jews. So Festus answered Paul and said, "Will thou go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?" Then said Paul, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things, wherefore these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "Hast thou appeal unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go." Now, in these few verses you see that the enemies of Paul do not waste time to influence the new governor, Festus. They tried it with Felix, and now they have Festus. They are still in uproar against Paul. They want him to be killed. And they had planned, I mean, it says over here that they were hoping that if he were taken from Caesarea to Jerusalem, that along the way they would kill him. Now, we don't know whether Festus knew that or not. But Festus then says, you know, "Do you want to come to Jerusalem to be judged?" Now, if you look at what happened with Felix at this time, at the time when Paul was with in front of the Sanhedrin in chapter 24, Ananias the high priest brought in Tertullus, the great orator, who kind of laid out all the charges against Paul. In this case, we don't see any orators. But the Jews come in and they try to bring charges against Paul. And in verses 8 and 9, Festus was trying to please the Jews. And he says, "Wilt thou go to Jerusalem and be judged?" Now, this is God's providence, that Paul used his Roman citizenship to avoid going to Jerusalem. Now, a lot of people say, well, did Paul have to do that? Well, Paul was fulfilling God's plan for him. Remember, in chapter 9, what did we read? We read that Paul would be before the kings and before the rulers, before he will stand before the Gentiles, he will stand before the kings. And God is fulfilling that. That he will go to Rome. And look at Acts chapter 23, verse 11. It says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him. This is the Lord standing by Paul. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. The Lord wanted Paul to go to Rome. So the providence of God was such that the Spirit of God spoke to Paul, and Paul pulled out his passport. I am a Roman citizen, and I will be judged by Caesar. And even in his letters, if you go into Romans chapter 1, when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, he said in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 of Romans, it says here, Romans chapter 1, verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, and without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He had written that letter to Romans way before, to the Christians in Rome. And now he had that chance. They wanted to try him in Jerusalem. He was in Caesarea. He pulled out his passport and he was ready. And Festus said, yes, before Caesar, thou wilt go. So now we read verses 13 onwards. And it says, and certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of Romans to deliver any man to die. Before that, he which is accused to have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime without any delay on the morrow. I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood by, they brought none accusations of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of his superstition. So, you know, I brought this man. I mean, it didn't make sense to me what they were accusing him of, but there was something they were accusing him of, which was a superstitious thing of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reversed unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa says unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was centered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all the men which are here present with us, you seek this man about whom all the multitude of Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here at Caesarea, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain things to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination, that I might have somewhat to write, for it seemeth to be unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. So our friend Festus was kind of clever. And he says, I'm sending him to Caesar, I'm sending him to Rome, but I really can't build a case against him. So Mr. Agrippa, King Agrippa, why don't you just help me out and listen to this man, and maybe I can write something concrete to Caesar about the accusations. So here's this second situation. You have the first one, Felix. You have the second, Festus. And now you have Agrippa. You know, when Agrippa comes with Bernice, apparently they didn't seem to have much to talk about. Because Festus was kind of bored, and Agrippa with Bernice was there, and they just didn't have any. Festus brings up this topic of Paul. You know, I got this prisoner here, and I got to deal with this guy, and I got to send him to Rome, and I got to have some clarity. So let's just spend some time together and find out what is this Paul about. So Festus brings up Paul, and he wants Agrippa to help him formulate a strategy or a report to hand over to Caesar. Notice something very interesting here. Two names. We are coming to the A. Felix, Festus, A. Agrippa. Two Gentiles, Festus and Felix, and King Agrippa, the king. Remember the prophecy in the scriptures. Remember what we read. Paul will be before the Gentiles and the kings. But he's with this Bernice. You see, you read this in verse 13, Agrippa and Bernice. Then you go to verse 23, and the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice. And then you go to the next chapter, which somebody can cover next week, but you see in chapter 26, verse 30, and when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice. Wherever Agrippa is, the word, Bernice is mentioned. He's never alone. You ask yourself the question, how come these two names are always together? They could have just said King Agrippa. What difference does it make? But you know, there's some history. Bernice had no authority to judge Paul. Only Agrippa had. But you know, the interesting thing is, they had an incestual relationship. She was married to her own brother, Agrippa. Bernice had an incestual relationship with Agrippa. She represented sin. Agrippa could not go anywhere without sin accompanying him. He was attached to that sin. Scripture is so clear. That until you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin is going to go along with you. When Agrippa is going to stand at the judgment seat of the great white throne, Bernice will be there. You know, I said F, F, and A, right? I wrote it there. It says, Felix is a faltering man. I'll for a convenient time, you know, he's faltering. Paul, I'll call you at a convenient season. Festus was a fickle guy, a fickle man. He, on one side, he sided the Jews and he says, you know, why don't you, Paul, why don't you come to Jerusalem, we'll judge you over there. One side, he's over here, he's fickle. And then he takes Agrippa and he says, really, I don't know about this guy. I want to send him to Caesar and I don't know what the case I can build. Come on, help me out. Felix was faltering, Festus was fickle. And then next week you will read about Agrippa a little bit more. But he was the almost man. Almost persuaded. I'm just there, but I'm not there. And so we see these two. Bernice is linked with Agrippa. You know, if you are a sinner and if you do not judge the sin and get right before God, Bernice will always go with you. Bernice will always be with you. And you will never, ever be forgiven if you do not trust now. And you have to come to grips as to what you want to believe in. And so we see in chapter 27, Agrippa moving. In chapter 26, we see Agrippa before Paul. And I'm going to stop here because somebody can take up this incident, but you want to be very clear that if you are not saved, you're one of these three kinds of people. You're faltering, you're fickle, and you're almost there. And I think when we read more about Agrippa, we'll see that Paul had really gripped that man to a point where all Agrippa needed to do was to accept Christ. But in the providence of God, Paul had that opportunity to meet the Gentiles, to meet the kings, and meet the children of Israel. And you and I have that same opportunity, just as Paul did, to bring the gospel to people like Festus, to people like Felix, and to people like Agrippa. Shall we close? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for this wonderful study in the Acts of the Apostles. Oh, how clearly this book tells us about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. It was so difficult for people in those days to recognize Jesus Christ as a Savior. He was the risen Christ, and throughout the Acts of the Apostles, we see the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ as the risen Christ. Spoken of, for 40 days He was seen of people. And we see when the Holy Ghost came upon the people at Pentecost, thousands and thousands were saved. And God our Father, we see through the journey of Paul how You used him so mightily to bring that gospel to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the children of Israel. We thank Thee for Paul's life and his abilities and his strength to stand up for a Savior whom he had once persecuted, but then in his encounter at the road of Damascus, he realized, truly, this is the Son of God. Our God, our Father, we thank Thee for these wonderful stories and wonderful incidents in the Acts of the Apostles. May we take them to heart that we too will encounter such people along the way to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Use us mightily for Thy work and Thy kingdom. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.